welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. The goal of this podcast is to bring semiconductor experts together to get to the truth about the matter at hand. We'll get right to the point and not exceed 30 minutes of your time. If you have a topic you would like us to cover, please post it on semiwiki.com and we'll get right to it. Hello and welcome to the Semiconductor Insiders Podcast Series. With me today is my podcast partner, Mike Gianfagna. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, Dan.
Our guest today is EDA legend Joe Costello. Joe is considered to have founded the EDA industry when, in the late 1980s, he became president of Cadence Design Systems and drove annual revenues to over $1 billion for the first time. Since leaving Cadence, Joe has led numerous startups to successful exits and is currently executive chairman of Metrics Design Automation. Welcome to our podcast, Joe.
Thank you. Good to be here, guys.
So, Joe, let's start out with what first brought you to semiconductors?
Completely random. So I moved out to the West Coast. I was going to get my PhD in physics, and I went to Berkeley, and I wanted to be a theoretical physicist. That was my goal, because I'd been a mathematician in undergraduate school. And then I realized quickly that there was one graduate appointment in theoretical physics out of 50 students each year. So that wasn't going to happen. And so I said, what do I do? And they go, well, you go into experimental physics. And so I said, okay, I went to a bunch of labs and everyone was packed with electronics. I didn't know a thing about electronics. And so I thought, I got to learn something. So I took a summer job at National Semiconductor. And that's what got me into the semiconductor industry. That summer job, by the way, lasted 2.5 years because I got so interested and excited in the things that were going on there that I just stayed and stayed before I went back to graduate school eventually.
Oh, that's a good story. A lot of times people say, oh, well, there was this woman.
We're like, well. Okay, well, the woman is why I moved to California.
Okay, there you go. So that was pre-semiconductors.
Yeah.
So we just saw that you're going to keynote at DAC. So give us the backstory here. How did they get you to keynote? How did it come about, and what are you going to cover?
So it came about, actually, sadly, I was at Jim Hogan's memorial service a few weeks back, and Michelle Clancy and I started talking, and she said, would you be interested or willing to do a keynote at DAC? And I said, sure, always. I love design automation industry, and if I can be of some kind of assistance and provide any kind of insights or guidance or thoughts that are at least provoking, I'm all in. So that's how it happened, and it seemed totally fitting. Jim Hogan was himself just a pillar of this industry for so many years, and a very emotional event. And and so I said, I'll do it for Jim.
So did you meet Jim back in National Semiconductor? Because that's where he started as well. We did a podcast with Jim, and I asked him the same question.
Actually, interestingly enough, we did not meet at National Semiconductor, other than we probably had a glancing introduction or maybe glancing blows, because that's the way National Semiconductor was. But no, I mean, when I really got to know Jim was when he came to Cadence. So that was my real introduction to Jim, other than perhaps a chance encounter at National. Didn't work together.
So what is your history with the Design Automation Conference? I mean, my first conference was in 1984. It was in Albuquerque, and I was right out of college, and it was quite an introduction. I fell in love with the industry immediately.
So, and that's interesting, because that's a really good question. Which year was the first year I went? Because it must have been after that, because I didn't go to Albuquerque. But my first introduction was really very shortly after I joined SDA Systems, which eventually became Cadence. And so I was working for Jim Solomon, who is the founder from National. That's how I got to Cadence. He was a guy, I worked for him at National Semiconductor. That's what got me introduced to what became Cadence and the EDA industry. And I believe it was the first trade show that we really went to as a company at the time. And I remember being a little bit dazed, because there was so much going on in the industry, and I had so little idea, coming from the semiconductor industry, how robust and exciting and how much energy there was in that space. I remember telling Jim Solomon, I came back to him in my report, and I said, I counted up, like, I forget the exact number, like 80 companies that are doing something that overlaps with what we're doing, and 23 that say they're doing exactly the same thing. So it was, oh my God, I had no idea there was so much going on in the space. And the only other thing I remember from it was our booth was right next to the men's restroom. And everybody was grousing about that. And I said, I don't know, that seems like a perfect place to be. You know, everybody's right. going to come by.
So let's talk about EDA real quick. Looking over the past 5 years, what do you think EDA has done wrong? And what do you think we've done right?
Well, certainly done right is finally the EDA industry is getting accorded an appropriate valuation. So I think the valuations of the public companies are doing extremely well. And I think it's richly deserved and has been deserved for a long, long time, given how important the EDA technology is to the overall semiconductor market. So that part has been done really right. And the EDA industry has done a good job positioning that. I think on the part not so good, the innovation in EDA has declined. And I'm not dissing the big companies about that in any particular way. It's just the number of startup companies and the health of the startup industry has waned over the last 10, 15 years. And that's not a good prognosticator of a positive future. You want to have a robust startup environment with a hotbed of people excited about creating new tools, new technologies, taking new approaches and making that happen. So I think that's those two things are probably the best and the worst of what I see of the industry in the last 5 years.
So that's an interesting perspective, Joe, kind of looking back. How about look forward? Over the next 5 years, and this is probably related to your comment, what's the biggest challenge EDA is going to face? What does this industry need to face up to, so to speak?
So actually, and this comes right to my Design Automation Conference keynote that I'm going to give. The title of my keynote is, "When the Winds of Change Blow, Some People Build Walls and Others Build Windmills." And I think that's the essence of the talk I'm going to give, which is there are really big changes, winds of change that are blowing through the entire industry. And when I say entire, I consider EDA as a part, like you guys do, of the semiconductor industry as a whole, which is a critical factor in the entire technology industry and drives so many of the advances and so many of the things that we take it for granted in the world today and has caused so much positive change. So EDA is a part of that. There are big winds of change blowing in semiconductor and in the EDA industry. And the question is, how are we going to respond? Are we going to respond trying to fortify and get more rigid and try to keep it the same way? Or are we going to harness the power of that wind to create something different? And that's really what I'm going to talk about, what I see those winds of change blowing and throw out some hopefully thought-provoking ideas about what might be done to change things.
That sounds terrific. I think hopefully you do stir up the pot a little bit. There's no downside in that. You know, so a kind of a somewhat related question, but just kind of examining the peripheral vision, if you will, of technology. Since you left Cadence, what's the most exciting thing you've done? It's sort of a question about what's outside of EDA. What actually is out there? What has been your experience?
There are so many interesting things. And I'm going to say, however, all of the most interesting things, when you get right back down to the bottom of it, what made it possible? It's always semiconductors. So I end up back in semiconductors and EDA every time, because at the bottom of what drives the next revolution, it's some interesting advance in what we're able to do with semiconductor chip technology and all of the things that make that real and robust and keep moving it forward. So, I mean, every single company that's interesting, I'll just talk about some like right now, because they're more relevant to me today. So I'm on the board of a company that is doing data management and storage software for Kubernetes, what's that all about? Well, Kubernetes is a tidal wave. It's the largest wave in IT in the history of mankind in terms of how fast it's taking over. And it's essentially the foundation for all cloud native software deployments. And it's the future of what everybody's going to do in that space, moving to cloud native and hybrid models, et cetera. You know, obviously every bit of that, why I say it always goes back to the semiconductor industry, everything that's going on in terms of public cloud, the capabilities and the networking that you are as possible, and the storage technologies that make it happen. It's all driven by the semiconductor industry and advances there. You know, everything from non-volatile memory stuff, you know, to advanced processing, to the high-speed networking, fiber optic links, all of it, you know, comes right back to that. But super cool company, you know, doing great things, which, you know, that their particular focus is on a platform for artificial intelligence machine learning to enable people to more rapidly put together from data scientists to actual deployment for customers in the real world. How do you make that flow happen much more efficiently, much more quickly? So all that rich intellectual power that goes into from the data scientists actually gets in the user's hands to make a difference in the world. So that's a super interesting company. I recently joined the board of a very interesting company in electrophotonics. Now this is closer to this world. So it is the first commercial monolithically integrated electronic photonic system. So you combine the laser elements and both the laser and the photodiode elements with the electronics in a single chip. And like everything else in integration, it means you can go to higher speeds, lower price, much lower power consumption. And it's now required because the requirements of those data centers that we were just talking about and 5G networks and everything else, you have to go higher, and the discrete component version is not cutting the mustard. You're going to have to move to the next generation. That company called Elphick, Canadian company. Those are examples. You know, I mean, that's quite related, but examples. Another company I'm on the board of is called QuickBit. They do very high speeds, called, you know, YGIG, 60 gigahertz, not six like Wi-Fi, but 10x, 60 gigahertz wireless transmission, which is a perfect complement to fiber for delivering gigabit speeds to homes and enterprises. Again, what makes that possible? Well, it's chipsets from Qualcomm, you know, that make that fundamental capability a possibility. So yes, I work on a lot of interesting things. They're all technology related, but when you get right down to it, where does it all come from? Some incredible innovation in the semiconductor industry drives it all.
Interesting. It all comes back to that foundation. I agree with you on that. And I think I'm sure you're going to be talking about that in your DAC presentation of how semiconductors becoming more and more of that critical enabler for so many cool things that are changing the world. It's exciting. It really is. You know, I just have one other question that I'd like to poke at. And it's a bit of an unfair question, but I'll ask it anyhow. Up to now, in all the things you've done, which is a long list, what do you feel is the most impactful thing that you've done in your career? Is there one thing that stands out and said, I'm really glad I did that?
I really do believe the Cadence experience had the most overall impact as a single thing. You know, you do a whole lot of things, but as a single thing. And maybe, there were different aspects to it, but maybe one of the things that, you know, people don't know that I feel so good about was the development of people at Cadence. I actually am, at the time that we were building Cadence, we didn't even think so much about that. I mean, we thought about it. When I say that, I should be very clear. We thought about, we want to build a great company. You were there, you know.
Sure.
We want to build a great company, a great culture. We want this to be a place where people can have fun and also succeed on big goals and advance their own personal and professional lives, right, by being a part of this company. And so we had that as a fundamental goal. And one of the most gratifying things about it is to see how many alumni of Cadence took their experience there and then turned it into becoming leaders in all kinds of companies across the industry, in EDA and outside of EDA. And so that impact, I think, is one of the things that makes me feel really great that we were able to create that environment. When I say we, as you know from having worked there, we had a fantastic team of people in the company. That all were committed to that kind of goal of development of the talent in the company, the people in the company, and, you know, really make them much stronger personally and professionally. And that paid off. I think it did spawn a lot of great leaders throughout the industry. So, and I have people, you know, probably one of the things that's most rewarding is how many times people come up to me and say, it meant a lot to me, the years that I spent at Cadence. I really did feel like it was a big jump for me in my career. So it's not always just about, yes, we were a very successful company and we became number one in the industry. And, you know, that, and that was super important. It was all based on the fact that we did deliver for customers and we did deliver for the industry, creating a new kind of tool set, advanced that industry. Of course, that was the objective, but that's the other side of that. You never can forget. It's a human community that makes all of that happen. And how do they end up out of it? And the truth is, yes, the industry was rewarded with better tools and better technology to push semiconductors forward. Investors are rewarded for sure with good returns from Cadence. And then the people that did it, you know, it's not like we used those people up. We actually, you know, they were benefited too in the process.
That's a great point of view. I have to say my memories of those days are very positive. The energy and the optimism was palpable in those days. Everyone sort of had a mission. You know,
yep.
And they were excited about their mission, and that energy is everything, I think. So yeah, you're very good point.
And we fed off of each other. You know, yeah. A lot of times people think, oh well, you know, that's because of the, you know, Joe Costello's a exciting, the energizing guy, and I know I can be energizing, but I feed off the people too. Mm. It was a collective of people that had a unified mission. And it was the fact that all of us, we would feed off each other. When one got low, another would pick us up and move us along. When one guy ran out of an idea, there was another group that came up with a way. When we were suffering in one way, you know, people would swarm to help and get things done. So it really was, just as you said, there was an overall energy that buoyed us all.
Yeah, I agree.
That was my experience too. So, Joe, how about a prediction? What do you think EDA is going to look like in 5 years? And I quote, will it be three big dogs eating from one bowl, not a pretty sight? Or will there be a surge in EDA startups? your most famous quote, I think.
You're getting haunted with that, Joe. Sorry.
It was a great quote. I do think, and I think, and I hope both, that the next 10 years, we're going to see a greater proliferation of new innovative design startups, design automation startups. That's my great hope, is that that's what we see over the coming few years. There's a lot of reasons when I give my talk, there's a lot of reasons to believe that, you know, that it's gonna, there are reasons why we should have more design automation startups. We need more design automation startups. So I would hope that happens too. And I'll be clear too, the Cadence and Synopsys dominate the full flow. As you know, Mentor is different because they never built the full flow, and that's not their goal. They do more point tools. They're like a collection of startups, which has been very good for the industry, honestly. You could say in some ways they have fostered a lot of the growth in the industry on the startup side, because they have become a home for a lot of those startup companies, but they never did the dominant, you know, full flow. It's never been their goal in that. So you have two guys doing that, battling it out, and then a guy that's been focused on more point technologies, which has been a successful strategy and continues to be, and has actually probably been better for many of the startup companies than the big guys in the last 10 years.
Yeah, I've actually been, EDA startups is a big thing for me, and I've been acquired by Siemens Mentor 4 times in the last 6 years. So yeah, they're really acquiring a lot of tools. So maybe they'll have a full flow someday, but you're right today. But I tell you, I hope you're right, because I want to see a lot of EDA startups and IP startups. And, you know, you're starting to see some big things like Arteris IP went public, right? I mean, that's one of the first IP companies to go public in a long time. You know, I was at Virage Logic. That was a great IPO. But you just don't see EDA and IP companies going public, but that's changed. And AlphaWave went public as well in Toronto, and S2C EDA, a company I worked for and I did an acquisition with, they're going to go public. And so I think there's some pretty exciting times ahead.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. And I do believe there are some signs of change, you know, about that. You know, and the problems have changed so that I think, and that's what I'll talk about, I think the problems have changed so that it gives more opportunity for those kinds of startups.
Yeah, I agree. Hey, listen, this is a good place to stop. Thank you again for your time. We will see you at DAC for sure. And thank everybody else for listening to the Semiconductor Insiders podcast series, and have a great day.
All right. Thanks, guys.
That concludes our podcast. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day. Thank you.